Meaningful action for climate change takes more than good ideas. It takes political will. So what works to get politicians working together on the problem? That's today on our weekly climate solutions segment, The Big Fix.
We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Can we turn this around?
We have no other option.
The only option that we have is to succeed.
What we do now and in the next few years will profoundly affect the next few thousand years.
From Norway to Australia, Japan to Germany, our guest Matto Mildenberger looked at how politics shaped decades of climate policy for his new book, Carbon Captured. Matto, thanks for being with us. Why is thinking about the politics of climate so important? What lens does it offer that is missed when we focus on the technical challenges of solving climate change?
Collectively, countries around the world are not doing what it's going to take to solve the climate crisis. Too often, we focused on not having the right technologies to solve the problem, or those technologies too expensive, neither of which is really true anymore. We know what we need to do, and it's cheap and profitable to do it. What matters is the politics of climate change now.
So you focused on Norway and Australia in your book. Why those two, and what did you learn about what works and what doesn't work when it comes to building political coalitions to address climate change?
In Norway, we have really early action. They really started having a carbon tax, a carbon price early in the 1990s. Whereas I think Australia has seen the most political conflict over climate change than basically anywhere in the world. But here's what you do learn. If we think about Norway, we think about Australia, and frankly, if we think about the United States, in all these countries, climate change actually disrupts some of the existing political coalitions that are out there. We have workers on the left who depend on carbon-intensive jobs, and we also have businesses that depend on carbon pollution. And the same is true on the right when we have more business-friendly parties. A lot of the conflict over climate change actually plays out within the left and within the right. It happens within existing political parties and coalitions.
Here in the U.S., though, it does feel really left and right. I mean, the U.S. has politicized climate change probably more than any country on Earth. With the world's strongest economic power in that position, isn't that a huge barrier to action?
A possible upside of the type of polarization we see in the United States is that when the Democrats are in power, there might be more appetite to undertake the type of disruptive climate reforms that are necessary to really solve this problem at the scale that we need to. It's still an open question whether slow and steady incremental progress that works at the margins, is that going to be a better strategy? Or might there actually be more opportunity in a polarized political system where once in a while the pro-climate actors seize control of power and really try and push forward on this issue?
So we can talk about whether certain climate policies work from a technical perspective. But if we're talking solutions to climate change, what type of policies are the most politically successful?
For about 20 years now, carbon pricing has been one of the main tools in the climate policy toolkit. The idea of carbon pricing is that you in some way make companies and polluters pay for the costs associated with the harm they're doing from releasing this pollution into the atmosphere. From a political perspective, this is a really, really difficult policy. It makes consumer costs really visible, and the benefits of acting, all of the avoided climate catastrophe that's going to happen in the next 10 or 15 years, is totally hidden. And so I actually think that there's a lot of sense to foreground benefits and try and pass policies that are more like the Green New Deal, that really focus on providing economic opportunities to workers in new industries. That's really going to help generate a coalition that actively wants and desires change. And it's also going to help split apart workers and business who have previously been opposed to climate policies by giving workers in fossil fuel industries new opportunities that will sort of bring them into a pro-climate coalition.
So, Matto, what gives you hope for the future when it comes to political solutions to climate change?
If we look at the extraordinary response that's happened right now to the coronavirus pandemic, it's hopeful to think that the world can come together and sort of take the type of action they're taking on COVID right now, but applying it to the next big looming crisis. Go back a couple of months to the Democratic primary. Presidential candidates who are proposing a $1.5 trillion, $2 trillion climate plan over 10 years were dismissed as fanciful, and we've spent more than that in a couple of weeks under the CARES Act. I think that type of effort and renewed political response to crisis is happening all around the world. And if we can redirect some of those energies to the climate crisis, I think that we have a fighting chance over the 2020s to bring this problem under control.
Mato Mildenberger is a professor of political science at UC Santa Barbara. He's also the author of the new book, Carbon Captured. Thanks for being with us, Mato. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Next week on The Big Fix, we'll talk about flying, and we want to hear from you. How have your attitudes about flying changed because of the pandemic? Will you fly more once restrictions loosen up or less? Email us a voice memo to climate@theworld.org. That email address again, climate@theworld.org. We'll be back next Thursday with another report from The Big Fix.